Six more foreigners have been kidnapped in Iraq. They are Egyptians working for a Cairo-based company running the cell phone system in part of Iraq. Also today, thousands of flyers were distributed in Baghdad. They feature a plea from the family of British hostage Kenneth Bigley asking for information about him. The man most wanted by the U.S. military in Iraq, Abu Musab al-Zarqawi, is believed to be behind Bigley's capture. U.S. authorities say it may have been Zarqawi himself who beheaded two Americans kidnapped along with Bigley. Zarqawi's name is now a household word in Iraq. He's an inspiration to some, abhorrent to others, as NPR's Emily Harris reports from Baghdad.
Until the fall of Saddam and the rise of the insurgency here, most Iraqis hadn't heard of Abu Musab al-Zarqawi, who grew up in Jordan and spent time in Afghanistan. But after months of hearing his name associated with kidnappings, bombings, and plotting to incite civil war, 23-year-old Omar Thia knows a few things about him.
He's a person who has come to Iraq, and we accuse him of every explosion. They say on TV that he's a religious figure, doing jihad and resistance and those kind of things.
Omar and a half a dozen of his friends hang out and discuss the situation in Iraq a lot. All are men in their early 20s, students or recent university graduates. They know that U.S. officials say Zarqawi has ties to al-Qaeda and that Washington blames him for a range of attacks, including the bombing of the U.N. headquarters here last year and the beheading of American Nick Berg. There's a $25 million reward for information leading to the capture of Zarqawi. Zarqawi has taken credit for several attacks, but a Baghdad medical student who wouldn't give his real name thinks the Americans overplay Zarqawi's involvement in the violence in Iraq. I think Abu Musab al-Zarqawi is an illusionary character, this student says, created by the Americans so they can use him as a reason to enter areas they want. I don't think it would be difficult for the Americans to capture Zarqawi, he says. He isn't positive Zarqawi even exists. But Rafid, a medical student from Tikrit, Saddam's hometown, says many people find Zarqawi inspirational.
I don't know one or two people. I know tens of people who like Zarqawi. They don't try to imitate him, but if they had a chance to join his group or help him, they would. Some have drawn his picture and put it up in their rooms. There hasn't been a hero in Islam for a long time, and they consider him a hero, like from the old times.
U.S. officials think Zarqawi moves around a lot, particularly near Fallujah. But the closest most Iraqis and U.S. troops have gotten to Zarqawi is watching him on video. In the tape aired this week showing the beheading of American Eugene Armstrong, a masked man spoke before killing Armstrong. The CIA believes this was Zarqawi. On the video, the man said killing for the sake of God is his followers' best wish, getting to U.S. soldiers and allies are their happiest moments, and cutting off the heads of criminal infidels is implementing God's orders. The group of young men discussing Zarqawi say he is an extremist and his actions are not helping Iraq. But recent college graduate Bilad al-Khaladi also says Zarqawi is far from being Iraq's only problem.
I finished exams more than 10 days ago, and all I've done since is sit outside in the street with my friends until 6 in the morning. We can't find work, we can't do anything, we can't even think about hope. We just sit around, smoke a lot, and make fun of each other.
Dramatically, he adds that the only way to change his miserable situation is to put a bullet through his head. His friends laugh. They are not suicidal. Still, unemployed, bored young men are thought to be potential recruits to the insurgents' cause. One from this group has a prescription for getting rid of Zarqawi. First, truly fair elections, then American soldiers going home. At that point, he says, Zarqawi and others will have no reason to fight. Emily Harris, NPR News, Baghdad.